Well, let's pray the chaplet. All right. I love praying with you and for you. Please pray for me. Pray for my wife today as well. It's her birthday. Great day for me. So grateful for her. And my brother-in-law, he's the atheist guy I often talk about. Matt, if you're listening, happy birthday to you too, buddy. They share the same birthday, so it's kind of hard to forget my brother-in-law or my wife. They share the same birthday. So happy birthday to both of you. My prayers are for you today and for all your intentions. And Matt, for your conversion. I'm praying for you, brother. I sent him a text earlier this morning. He's a great guy. I love it. And I want to pray for you. If you want to get in and you're new to the chaplet, I know we have a lot of new listeners all the time. I'll give you this number. It's good all day. It's 888-914-9149. You can send your intentions to Maggie. She will get them on the air for you. If you go to our Twitter page, that's at Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter handle, at Drew Mariani Show. Follow me also at Drew Mariani. It's good to keep in touch with you off air. And then, of course, answered prayers. Let me share a few of those with you today. First of all, thank you for sending them. As God works these miracles, as he hears your prayers, as, you know, your missing items are returned, or, you know, your cancer disappears, or the doctor's stunned by whatever the report is, email me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's just my show email, drew@relevantradio.com. Mark answered prayers or praise report or whatever you want to call it. Just do it in such a way that I'll say it and tell me your story, okay? And I'll keep you anonymous and I will pass it along, okay? Before we start, though, one quick intention. This person says, I'm writing today with a heavy heart and an urgent prayer request for my cousin Lily. She is only 2 years old and she was suddenly diagnosed with leukemia yesterday. Drew, this came as a shock to our entire family. We're shattered and we are heartbroken and we have the utmost faith in the divine mercy of our Lord and Savior. And we pray that Lily will have a miraculous recovery and that our Lord will mitigate her sufferings. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Jesus, I trust in you. They sign it off. Oh, we'll pray for her. That's a tough situation. A couple of other emails that came in. This person said, I requested prayer a couple days ago for my nephew's wife that they deliver their baby safely. I was very concerned because they're having a blizzard there, and it was just past her due date. I got good news. The baby arrived just before the big part of the storm. So all's well. The mom and baby are fine. Thanks for praying the chaplet. God bless you, and thank you, Jesus. St. Faustina used this prayer all the time to affect the weather. She used it to call down rain. She used it to ward off storms. So I think this is such a wonderful prayer to pray. I was in a really bad storm one time. I was heading up to the National Shrine of Divine Mercy with a camera guy, and we had to do an interview up there. And I'm in this car, and a terrible blizzard came upon us in New England, and we could barely see. So I said to him, I said, I'm going to stop this storm with prayer. And he didn't believe. Yeah, he did not have the faith that I had. Let's put it that way. He was not a very faithful person. And I began to pray, and I swear, the storm around our vehicle totally stopped. It was as though we drove in a bubble, right? It was quite bizarre. And he was kind of freaked out by it, to be honest with you. But look, we could do it. Christ calms storms, right? I believe that prayer is so powerful that it can affect anything. And we think, oh, weather is out of our realm. God's in control of everything. Another person said, hey, answered prayer for all the prayers that my son needed so he can play for the Philippines national team. It came in time for the deadlines. I just want to thank you. We never got a chance to thank the Divine Mercy and the program for the complete healing of my sister, Liberty. So sending along that answered prayer as well. Another person writes, hey, that 20-year-old girl that we asked you to pray for that was missing, well, she was found. The mother and daughter are now reunited. Madonna, thanks for sending that along. But this prayer, this chaplet, just seems to have this charism for bringing the lost home. You know, and I think that's also spiritually. One last one here, too. In the middle of January, I called indoor the chaplet for a little girl turning 3 in February. She had cancer of the tongue, and she had to have some of her tongue removed. And if she did, they had to remove the tongue, she wouldn't be able to talk. So if all the tongue was removed, she wouldn't even be able to swallow. Can you imagine that? A little girl turning 3 with cancer eating her tongue. Had to be removed. Well, we called into the Chapel of Divine Mercy. And Drew, I just want to report back for those who are praying with you. The cancer of the tongue was healed. The cancer of the tongue was healed. The doctor could not believe it. Now it looks like a birthmark, which I'm just going to monitor. I love it.
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, is that not crazy?
True, that's incredible.
They're like, we're going to take this much of the tongue, and if not, we'd take the whole tongue. We take this much, she won't talk. We take the tongue out, she won't swallow.
Now
it looks like a birthmark. And the doctors were totally stunned. The person says, this is, you know, a little bit, looks like a little, like a birthmark. They're going to monitor it. No treatment is needed at this time. They don't have to treat it.
Wow.
And the doctors are calling it a miracle.
Wow.
So just thank you, she says, to you and to all of the relevant radio listeners who prayed for her. She concludes with four words, God is good. And he is. Amen to that. Amen, amen. See, those are the stories. I mean, they're so dramatic. I love those stories where cancer disappears, you know? Hey, wallets can be found. Storms can be warded off. Cancer can be vanquished. This is the power of our united prayers. This is the mercy of God. This is the power of the chaplet and the promises the Lord has given to it. That's why I just love praying with you. So one of my favorites, I love those stories. Let's pray for you right now. Whatever your needs or wants or desires are, I'm going to lift you up before the Lord. And I ask you to pray for me and for my family as well, if you would do that. Maggie, anything you want to start off with before we begin the prayer?
You know, it's the first Friday of Lent, and I just want to lift up anyone that's doing spiritual practices for this Lent, any journey that they're on.
Amen for that. I mean, you know, yeah, for fortification, for those of us that are weak, right? That's what I need. You make these Lenten resolutions, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm ready to break it. Don't forget, and here's just a quick reminder, today is Friday. Do not eat meat. It's the first Friday of Lent, okay? If you are Catholic, we abstain from meat on Fridays during Lent. I'll talk to you more about this maybe later today because there are other aspects to this that I don't think people totally get their head around. So we'll lift that up. But let's pray right now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. Janelle, listening to us in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Janelle, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, Janelle. Thanks. How can I pray for you?
Oh, excuse me. I'm praying for my husband needing prayers to find a new job. Okay. He's in a really bad spot where he is now, as well as for my kids to come back to the faith, and my future and son-in-law as well.
All right, great prayer. We will pray right now both for your husband to find employment. Lord, I give to you this man, and in particular anyone right now who is unemployed, who is in a job that is just not right, those who are underemployed, and I want to give you those who financially really are struggling in this hour. I know credit card debt is rising, interest rates are rising, costs are rising. I know it can be very difficult financially on a home, and sometimes that creates division in the family as well. So I just pray for peace, and I pray for providence and for blessing. You know, you've multiplied food. You've shown us your mercy and your generosity, and I just ask that generosity today. Reach every soul right now who is from their heart asking you for it. I pray for conversion too. for her children, her future son-in-law, but I pray in particular for all those that are close to us, that we love, and those most in need of your mercy, to respond to the grace that you're giving them of conversion. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Kenneth in New Brighton, Minnesota. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Drew. Thanks for having me on. It's greatly appreciated. I just wanted to call for prayers for conversion of my father-in-law, as he is cheating on my mother-in-law.
Oh, boy, that's tough. All right, well, let's do it. Let's pray for him. Kenneth, thank you. I want to pray for you, too, for your family. And, Lord, I really do intercede today in a particular way for conversion and for grace and for mercy and for healing. And I pray right now for anyone who's not faithful to the vows of their marriage or their vocation, Lord, that you give them grace. Remove those temptations. Bring about conversion of heart. Allow opportunities for new beginning and healing. And I give you, Kenneth, both father-in-law and mother-in-law, and the damage, the ripple effect that that's happening throughout his family. And I ask for mercy. That's all we could do. I have no words for it, Father, but I ask you, heal these deep, deep wounds, these rifts that so many people are struggling with today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Anne. She's listening in Utah, or praying with us there, I hope. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Taking my call.
You got it.
I would like to say a prayer of thanksgiving. I have been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for years, along with rosaries, asking that the Holy Spirit will impart my adult children. The one that was the most resistant and looking in the wrong areas and the wrong religion calls on Ash Wednesday and wanted to know if we could pray the rosary together every night. She's looking in that direction now. She still has a long way to go and is horribly depressed, but God is answering prayers.
Wow. Well, praise God for that. First of all, thank you for calling. Okay. I am so happy that you did. Because I just think of the conversion that we're praying for today seems to be the theme. And I think about what the Lord told St. Faustina. And thank you, Anne, for that answer prayer. We'll continue to pray for that grace that all of our loved ones draw even closer to our Lord. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina to pray the chaplet unceasingly. If you have somebody away from the faith, do that. He says, this is a tool for conversion, and it's an instrument of grace. So if you have a loved one in need of conversion, if you're praying for somebody who's strayed from the path of God, pray the chaplet. Pray the chaplet. Join us now. We have so many souls uniting with us. Pray for those away from the faith to return to Christ. Pray for those sacramental marriages that they can stay together. Let's pray that God will hear these prayers. The Lord also told St. Faustina one other thing, and I was always struck by this. He says, there is no conversion sometimes without sacrifice. So if you can amplify your prayer with sacrifice, then please do that. You know, please do that. You know, the Lord promised that This is the one prayer that he always hears and answers. I really believe it. So let's pray right now. We'll pray for those that we love to return, and we'll give thanks to God for the graces that he has given and will be given. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before I go to John, let me go to Maggie, who is monitoring all those intentions that you're bringing to us now on our Twitter account. Again, you can send them along to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. That's the handle. Follow us on our social media. And Maggie will give voice to them here if you don't get through on the phone. So, Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, I just got a text from my mom just as a chaplet was starting. She said that a couple that we know just had their baby girl, and a baby girl is 5 weeks preemie and is in the NICU. So I want to lift up this family for prayers of health, protection, provision, peace, all of that.
You got it.
Dan wrote to us and said, please pray for a friend's mother who has pancreatic cancer. They've exhausted all treatment and have sent her home to wait for the end.
That's bad.
He says it's of utmost importance that she receives the last rites if it be God's will that she pass away.
Amen.
Irene wrote to us and said, urgent prayer. A three-year-old has been taken from their home in Lakeview, Minnesota. Wow. An Amber Alert was just issued. Thanks.
Wow. Well, I'll let you finish, but let's definitely pray for that. Again, this theme of conversion coming up, especially deathbed conversions, the chaplet's so powerful. Mm-hmm. But there's this anointing on this prayer. Let's pray that that little girl gets returned to her family. Mm-hmm. How tragic.
Mm-hmm. Larnie wrote to us too, Drew, and she said, please pray for my son Leland, who will be buried today here in the Philippines. He was my only child, and I pray that he is in God's kingdom.
Oh, poor mother.
I know. And lastly, Olga wrote to us and said, please pray for Vanessa from Texas, who was diagnosed with something called Takayasu arteritis, a rare autoimmune disorder that affects her heart. She says doctors in this area are not sure how to treat it. So let's pray that she either receives healing or is able to see someone that does know how to treat this.
Amen. Let's pray for that complete healing. I like your prayer, Maggie. You're right. God sometimes uses the natural in a supernatural way to bring about healing. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you all these intentions, and we ask for your mercy. We immerse them in the ocean of your mercy. And we'll take John, who's in Madison, Wisconsin, as well. Allow him to get in on this fourth decade. Hi, John.
Hi. Wishing your wife and your brother-in-law a blessed birthday.
Thank you, John.
I'm asking for prayer for my wife of 62 years of happiness and blessings from our Lord. She has dementia for about 15 years and has recently developed severe pressure sores that are open to the bone.
Oh, no.
She doesn't walk or stand, so she's bedridden or in a wheelchair. But thank God she's happy. She laughs. We're blessed that way. It could always be worse.
Yeah.
And I also would request prayers for my children and grandchildren who are not practicing the faith should be. And for all the children that are suffering throughout the world and nations like Russia, China, North Korea, that God may see fit to bring peace and love and joy to those that are so much less fortunate than we are.
John, such beautiful prayers. Maggie, you wanted to say something to John?
I did, John. I'm so glad that you called in to the chaplet. My grandma had a similar issue. She was developing pressure sores from being bedridden towards the end of her life, just like that, that from the outside would seem so very painful. We prayed the chaplet for her all the time. And miraculously, she said that she never felt the pain. I think it was protection from the Lord. So let's lift up your sweet wife today, that might be the case for her too.
62 years of marriage. John's wife is 81. What a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And John, what a beautiful testimony you are to marriage. You know, good times and bad, sickness or health. You love your wife. The call screener puts a message here. Also, just in thanksgiving for his marriage, he says, for 15 years, she's been bedridden. Lord, I want to pray for this man. I give you your son, John. I give you his wife. And I just ask for your mercy to envelop this family. You know the best way to remedy their situation. I pray for the conversion that he seeks for his loved ones. I re-echo that for mine. And I just, we pray for those, Lord, both within our own sphere of influence, but as he points out, for China, for Russia, for Ukraine, for so many who are suffering, for peace in the world. I thank you for this prayer. Thank you for your mercy. I turn to it now with deep, deep trust as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Rosemont, St. Paul. Barb, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my prayer.
You're welcome.
I am calling in thanksgiving for answered prayer for my sister-in-law, Jerry, who I had called in twice for. She had a pressure sore, and she was put in a swing bed in a hospital, and they finally got it healed up. So I'm thanking God for that. And then I'm also praying for my brother, who just had surgery yesterday, was going through severe pain. He had a bowel obstruction and a perforated bowel. So praying for complete healing and that God would shield him from any infection.
Amen. I love it. Barb, thank you for sharing the answered prayer. I'm so grateful to hear that and so glad to hear it. And let's pray also for all your other intentions, for the healing that we're seeking right now. Lord, I pray for anyone who has bowel issues or any sorts of infection, any sepsis. Lord, I just give you the body and so many people who ache in different ways, who suffer in different ways, who carry different physical crosses. I bring them to you. I give you those with broken hearts and emotional wounds, those with anxiety and depression, and I ask you to heal them as well. Lord, I pray for those dry in faith, struggling spiritually, that you give special graces to them that they may draw closer to you. And we turn to you now, Lord, with confidence, with faith, with deep love, giving you every intention in our heart, all those who've asked us to pray for them. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one. Holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. If you're new to the chapel, I prayed every day at this time. If for some reason you need prayer, email us, write to us, or join us. We'd love to do that. But do me a favor, and this is something I think is really important. Tell just one other person, just one. That's all I'm asking. One other person about the chapel, and have him join you. Let's continue to multiply this powerful prayer force that we have, this incredibly loving spiritual family. Let's continue to amplify our voice and turn to our Heavenly Father. I think more miracles are going to take place at this time than we've even seen. And I have books after books of answered prayers. We have this wall of mercy, and we print out these answered prayers. The name is taken off, but the miracle, like the one we heard about the little girl whose cancerous tongue had to be removed, when praying in the chapel, next thing you know, no cancer. Now it looks like a birthmark, and doctors are calling it a miracle. So we want to pray for you. Tell others about it. And when we come back, let's pray for girls, teen girls. They're going through a mental health crisis right now. Many of them are having a hard time. Suicide rates are up. Another strange anomaly, too. More and more girls are actually hitting puberty earlier. We'll speak with America's Mom when I return. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime. On Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Introducing social media to a younger generation, we already have all, there was a documentary called The Social Dilemma, and it spoke about how all these programmers are creating this for, to kind of create this addiction we all have. To introduce that to a younger age group with all of the concerns we have already of their safety online, imagery, people having access to your children, there's 1,000 reasons why I just think this is dumb. These are not nonprofit organizations creating this. These are for-profit private companies that are trying to monetize our children.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it is great to be here with you today. It is a concern, isn't it? As a parent, I was just talking to a colleague of mine here. He's got some young daughters, and he asked me, he says, what's coming up? And I was telling him Dr. McMeeker is going to be stopping by. I said, boy, we're going to deal with a lot of different issues. And one of them, I was sharing with him how earlier last week, the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention, the CDC, they published a 10-year survey. And this gave me a little pause. I thought I'd share with you. The survey is what they call a youth risk behavior. And what they found, it wasn't very encouraging for teenage girls. According to the report, in 2021, 30% of female students drank alcohol in the past 30 days. Now you might say, well, you know, really? Is that surprising? I think it is. I think one out of three girls, 20% of female students experienced sexual violence during the previous year. That's one out of five. That's tragic. I think pornography has a lot to do with this. I think social media has a lot to do with this. 20% of female students experienced sexual violence during the previous year. I mean, that's a number I think we need to underline. But 14% have been physically forced to have sex. And the report also says that those numbers are high. Rates of poor mental health and suicidal thoughts and behaviors are even higher. And this is really what's concerning. 60% of female students experienced persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness during the past year. Almost a quarter of them made a plan for suicide. I say to my wife sometimes, am I getting old? I mean, I've got young kids, right? I have they're young adults now. I got them through high school and college, thank God, through the university level. But I don't remember this growing up. I don't remember. And who knows? Maybe I was just maybe it happened and I just was not aware of it. But 60% of female students saying, hey, I'm sad, I'm hopeless. And a quarter of them saying, yeah, you know, I want to take my life. I'm going to make a plan to kill myself. I mean, why is this happening? As a parent, my heart goes out to you. My colleague who was just in the studio with me here, he stopped by and said, hey, what's up? He's got a girl that's going to be turning 21 this weekend, and they're going out. He's got another younger girl. And he's concerned about what's happening. He really thinks social media plays a big role in a lot of this. These girls can be mean. 1 out of 5 teenage girls have experienced sexual violence of some kind. And I would hit that. It's teenage girls. Teenage. More than 1 out of 10 girls say they've been raped. Now, I don't know whether these numbers are on the increase, whether this has been the norm. But regardless of the trajectory, right? 1 out of 10 girls being raped? That's horrific. The fact that 60% of them are in persistent depression, with a good number of them with a suicide plan, something's wrong in our society. Social media, of course, is one of the biggest issues, as girls are now more susceptible to being bullied online, to being fed that they're fat. I had lunch last week, and I think I shared this with you, with a friend whose daughter's actually a really beautiful young girl. She's 14 years of age, but the algorithms on the social media, she was looking for something for exercise, and the exercise led her to a whole bunch of different, the algorithms, a whole lot of different things. Soon she's looking at anorexic videos. She's pushing her hips down to look thinner. Girls on social media are telling her she's ugly, you know, and the parents feel helpless. They don't know what to do to help their daughter. She's had thoughts of suicide, of self-harm. She cuts. She's 14 years old. She's a child. My heart goes out to these young girls. The CDC is reporting that the burden of taking on these problems in schools, is it the school's place? What do we do at home? Where's the help? How do we remedy this? What are the signs? You know, I don't have all those answers. That's why I've invited Dr. Meg Meeker to join me today. She's a pediatrician. She's a mother. She's a best-selling author of 6 books and one of our country's leading authorities on parenting and teens and children's health. And she'll answer your questions. Maybe you're going through a tough time right now with your own child, feel free to join us. The number here is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Dr. Meeker, it is good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Drew. I wish we could talk about happier things.
I know. I say that all the time to my producer. I hate having to deal with some of these issues. But you know what sparked this for me? I had this lunch last Sunday with this father, right, who monitors his daughter's cell phones, and he feels helpless because she really is a beautiful, wonderful girl who is not fat and now is, you know, thinking she is and thinking she's ugly and, you know, thinking about hurting herself. She's cutting. And then I saw the CDC report or this latest report that came out, and I look at these numbers and I'm just stunned. I don't know whether this surprises you. Maybe you can explain where we are. Is this a trajectory going in a particular direction? What do you know? And just maybe unpack it for us.
Sure. Well, you know, I've been at this a while. I've been practicing pediatrics for over 30 years, and definitely 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, we never saw this. So what we've seen in the medical community and the literature really bears this out is that as cell phone use went up, not just cell phone, but internet use, social media use in girls went up. And they spent more time on it. The longer time they were on it, the greater their likelihood of being depressed. So it's almost a parallel upward curve, if you will. And I think there are a couple things going on. First of all, girls are always looking for affirmation. I mean, that's what teenage girls do. They don't like the way they look or they sound or whatever. So they're always looking for affirmation. And unfortunately, social media reinforces the wrong affirmation. So even if you're given healthy affirmation at home, you know, and a parent a couple times a day or once says, man, you're great, or boy, I'm so proud of you. You get on social media and spend an hour or two on there, and you feel pretty badly about yourself by the time you're done. But it's created to be that way. It's created to be addictive. But B, it's created to be a show-off zone. And so no matter how long you're on it, you will find somebody who is prettier, funnier, has a better boyfriend. And inevitably, you come off of social media feeling horrible about yourself and your life because you never measure up, either in other people's eyes or in the image that you've created for yourself. You never become that. And I think that's where girls begin to be so despondent.
Yeah. What do you make of this other stat, which is really concerning? 1 in 5 teenage girls have experienced sexual violence. 1 in 5, right? 1 out of 5. And then they say 1 in 10 girls have actually been raped. Is pornography playing a role in this? Are we seeing more aggression now, more violence against women? Or is this, again, something that's been pretty consistent? How do you read this and why?
Oh, no, it's not. It's becoming worse and worse and worse. And again, you don't even have to turn to pornography to see violence against women. I don't know if people saw it, but watch the Grammy Awards. Now, I didn't watch the Grammy Awards, but I did see there was a show in the middle of it where they genuinely depicted, this guy's name is Sam something. It looked like an image of hell. It
Sam Spears, or Sam Smith.
Okay, yeah. So he had women in cages, okay, and they're chained. So you don't have to look far for pornography. A young girl sees that, and she feels that sort of part of life. But what are you doing to the young boys? You're teaching the young boys that that is part of a exciting sexual experience, which is oppressing women. And then you have boys who are on video games, and there's so much violence against women and rape. And all the women in the shows are stunningly beautiful, you know. So it almost is like the more attractive the girl, the more violent the boy feels he can be against her sexually. So we are training boys to think this way. And we're sitting as a culture with millions of people watching these depictions and going, oh, well, you know, kids aren't going to watch this. Oh, yes, they will. So we're literally grabbing the minds of these boys and we're brainwashing them to tell them this is not only acceptable to do to women, but it's exciting.
Wow. My guest today, Dr. Megan Meeker. If you want to join us, our number is 888-914-9149. Let me take a quick break. Joe in Bristol, you're on deck. I'll get you in first. And if you got a question, a concern, maybe you're dealing with some problems with your daughters or your sons, we'll be more than glad to talk with you and take your calls. Dr. Meg Meeker is here. And Doctor, I also want to get your take on why more and more girls are actually hitting puberty earlier, whether that's something in the environment or it's something else that's driving that. We'll look at that and much more when I return.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Stand up with us and be unashamed of the truth. You are never alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you are not alone. I'm glad to be here with you. I was actually saying to Maggie during the break, I said, you know, I hate talking about this stuff. I really do. And we're talking today about a CDC report and what they're highlighting. They're finding that there is an increased crisis right now amongst young women. There's a mental health crisis of teenagers. They are their self-image. The sexual attacks on them. We're facing a real crisis. And I think, gosh, it's so depressing. Do we want to talk about this? You know, 1 in 10 1 in 10 women being raped. I mean, it's horrible. But I felt, you know, we have to at least put this on your radar so you can take the steps you need to keep your daughters or your granddaughters or your nieces or maybe your grandsons or your sons or your nephews safe, because it I'm sure it is affecting them the same way. But we are seeing suicide rates increase as well. The question is, what do we do What are the signs, and ultimately, how do we protect them? And I want to take a few of your calls. I've got a few more moments with Dr. Meg Meeker, so if you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. And Dr. Meeker, before I jump into Joe and everyone else on hold here, what are some of the signs? I mean, some parents just don't know. I mean, this buddy that I was talking about, his daughter was cutting, clearly knew that. He took the phone, began to survey that. They don't may not know the rabbit hole that the daughter goes through, looking for exercise videos that led to weight loss, that led to the girl thinking that she was fat, and that ultimately leads to anorexia or bulimia or other issues. What are the signs, and what are some practical steps maybe parents can implement just to keep their kids safe?
Yeah, that's a great point. First, I want to tell everybody out there who's thinking, oh, this is a, I can't bear to listen to this. Your daughter doesn't have to be a statistic. Your daughter doesn't have to be, you know, one of the girls who's, you know, thinking of committing suicide or is getting raped. The key here is for parents to be really engaged. Now, I know that sounds easy, but you need to watch what your daughter's doing. You need to look her in the face. You need to read her affect. You know, who is she talking to? Who are her friends? And so if you're concerned that depression or cutting may be an issue, the first thing you need to do is pay attention to some of the signs. For instance, if she's more withdrawn from you, you know, not all teenagers are meant to be sitting in their room for 3 hours in the afternoon. That's not healthy. That's a red flag. You know, watch her affect and how is she talking and what is she saying? Who are the friends she's hanging around? You know, if she's got friends who are depressed and who are cutting and this kind of thing, then she's more likely to. So pay attention to her friends and what they're doing. And it's pretty easy to ask and say, hey, I remember so-and-so in your class was struggling. You know, how is she doing? And if you can see what her friends are doing, that's a pretty big clue as to what she's doing. If her grades change, if she tends to sleep more, if her appearance changes. Also, as far as the anorexia, if you find that she's getting certain food phobias, in other words, she won't eat carbs or she won't eat sugar anymore, or she just eats very, very small portions. Those are the kinds of things that you look for. As far as cutting, some kids can do that without showing the outward signs of depression. So you just have to watch. I mean, literally, the places kids will cut is at the top of their thighs and their forearms.
Yeah. That's so funny you said that's what he did. She was cutting her upper thigh. So
yeah,
I don't know how they found out, but that's what happened. They cut her.
Yeah, yeah. You look for it. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's what we have to do in this day and age with our kids.
And was it, that's just a cry of inner hurt, inner pain? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. Exactly. It's crying for help. You know, I'm really confused. I'm really hurting. I don't know how to navigate this all, so I'm just going to do this and check out.
Well, let's do this. Let's grab a few telephone calls. I know how quickly time goes. We'll start first with Ryan in, I guess, is that Santan Valley, Arizona? Hi, Ryan. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Love your show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to get a comment from you guys because looking for some sort of relief for children, I've been trying to find counseling for my kids. And, you know, digging through the forest, literally there are no Catholic counselors. The closest I can find anything was Protestant counselors and asking the big questions on morality. I mean, this counselor had a master's in divinity, but asking him all the big questions, he was just so morally flawed, said pornography is okay under certain contexts. And I hate to use coarse language, but he also said that masturbation is appropriate under the appropriate context.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is all that's out there for our children. Where are all the Catholic counselors at?
Well, I'm glad you called, Ryan. Doctor, I'm going to let you respond. I know that you are not alone in terms of providing a moral perspective. You're a pediatrician. There's lots of great counseling out there as well. What would you recommend to Ryan?
Yeah, I would go to the Christian Medical and Dental Society or what's the name of the great Catholic website, and I would start there and look around. American Academy of Pediatricians is a Catholic medical site. I would go there. There are good Christian Catholic counselors out there, but you have to dig harder for them. And you're right. The last thing you want to do is send your child to somebody who's going to tell them that pornography is okay.
That's so true.
But there are good people. You just have to look. You just have to look harder.
Dr. Meeker, are you thinking of CatholicTherapist.com? Is that the other one with Allison Ricciardi?
Yes. You can do that. And I'm, you know, at the American the American College of Pediatricians is a Catholic medical organization, and you can look there too.
All right. Hey, Ryan, thank you.
Well, real quick, doctor. So I went through something called Catholic Charities, and it's funded by Catholics, but it turns out they actually work with a lot of secular counselors. Majority of them, the counselors themselves are actually secular, and they hold a lot of those secular beliefs.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. It is, but you can have some secular counselors that are good and are not going to communicate those amoral values. So don't shut them out. There are some good people, but they just don't have a faith.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Joe in Bristol, Pennsylvania, thank you for waiting so long. You are on the air. Ryan, thank you. We'll pray for your family. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Thank you very much. God bless both of you for all the good that you're doing.
Thanks.
I've been in education my whole life, okay? I'm also a counselor, and I do a lot of work throughout the Philadelphia area for pro-Christian values, okay? You have to look at the root of the evil here, and you have to attack it at the nucleus. And that's the problem, because if you don't cut the head of the snake off, it doesn't die.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, when you look at our society right now, it's decadent. It's perpetuated by all the wokeness, everything else. When you're saying these young girls and all, what is normal today? Look at your TV. Look at everything. Everything is satanic. Everything, it looks like when you look at people, it's no longer people. It's a circus. Barnum and Bailey could have made beautiful things out of this and made a lot of money out of the way what people are doing to themselves. And our society is promoting it. And I don't want to get into the exact areas, but you understand they're non-Christian areas. They've done everything to rip the family down. They've everything to rip God down in our lives. I am telling you right now, there is a cure for your children out there. Please listen to this. And I'm going to give you one example. Pennsylvanians for Human Life, outside within the Philadelphia area. I have seen things and miracles with kids and groups. Get them involved with these Christian groups. I was out to the Lancaster Bible College this summer. I was invited there, and I saw probably at least 500, 600, 700 kids. I was astounded. Wow. There's a revelation, and there's a resurgence in God that is happening.
Joe,
and we have to get these kids part of that.
I love it. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for what you're doing, and you're right. I mean, that's really the factor, isn't it, Dr. Meeker? We need God in their lives, and so often that's not the case.
Absolutely. But here's where it can start. Pray with your kids at home. Take your kids to mass with you. Talk about Christ. Talk about the world, and talk about, you know, that God can overcome this and that they don't have to succumb to it. You know, the deeper you make those connections with family, with moms and dads, yeah, there's a lot of nonsense out there. But one thing we can do is change our own families. Prayer, more time together, affection and attention, dinners together. That's what really makes your kids strong. And then talk to them about sin. I mean, you know, if something's satanic, you got to call it what it is, you know. And I did that with our kids when they were younger, say, this is where it comes from. This is why we pray. But God overcomes it all.
Amen.
So we have to have them hold on to that.
Amen, amen. Hey, doctor, I have less than a minute, and maybe we'll have to visit this another time, but why are girls hitting puberty earlier? It's a global phenomenon right now. Any ideas?
Well, I think, yeah, it has to do with diet. I think that our diets are worse. Girls are heavier, and heavier girls tend to have their periods sooner. But I also think there's something functioning in the environment,
right,
that's doing. We also
too
know that sperm counts are going down in men, and it's got to be
time
something environmental.
Well, we'll have to follow up on that. Thank you for your time. I really do appreciate all you do, and I hope people will check you out. Dr. Meeker's website, and check out her books on parenting, meekerparenting.com. I'll be right back.